Widerhall.
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 Widerhall. Das Echolot für Politik, Wirtschaft, Gesellschaft, Wissenschaft und Kultur im Freien Radio Salzkammergut.
Wir blicken dieses und das nächste Mal zurück auf die Abschlussveranstaltung unseres Kulturhauptstadtprojekts Radio Transfer und bringen einen Ausschnitt vom Podiumsgespräch und Interviews mit unseren Gästen aus Ungarn, Serbien und Kamerun. Herzlich willkommen beim Widerhall, sagt Jörg Stöger. Ja, vergangene Woche war es soweit. Das zweite Mal waren Sendungsmachende und Radioaktivistinnen und Aktivisten aus Ungarn im Rahmen einer Residency bei uns zu Besuch. Das Projekt Radiotransfer im Rahmen der Europäischen Kulturhauptstadt Salzkammergut 2024 hat sich ja zum Ziel gesetzt, den Dialog zu suchen mit Radiomachenden aus dem Freien, aus dem Community-Medienbereich, aus anderen Ländern. Unsere Wahl ist auf Ungarn gefallen. Erstens, weil es ein Nachbarland mit vielen historischen Verbindungen ist, durchaus auch mit Kontexten zu Bad Ischl. Vor allem aber, weil die Situation der freien Radios, der Community-Radios in Ungarn sehr schwierig geworden ist. Und wir wissen wollten, wie die Radiomachenden mit diesen Umständen umgehen und wie die aktuelle Situation ist. Das Projekt läuft seit vorigem Jahr und es hat dazu bereits mehrere Veranstaltungen, Konzerte und auch eine Podiumsdiskussion gegeben. Auch schon Residencies und Austauschbesuche. Auch wir waren in Ungarn und haben freie Radios besucht. Das Projekt ist auch in Zusammenarbeit mit dem Freien Radio B138 in Kirchdorf durchgeführt worden, die wiederum Medienaktivistinnen aus Serbien eingeladen haben. Die ungarischen Radioaktivistinnen und Aktivisten haben vergangene Woche gemeinsam mit Radiomachenden vom FAS Sendungen produziert, die wir dann im Rahmen der Sendereihe Radiotransfer ausstrahlen werden. Die vorläufige Abschlussveranstaltung vergangenen Freitag war ein Podiumsgespräch in der Kurdirektion in Bad Ischl zum Thema Medienfreiheit in Europa und den Stellenwert, der den freien Medien, den Community-Medien dabei zukommt. Die Podiumsgäste waren aus unterschiedlichen Bereichen die ungarische Universitätsprofessorin und Medienwissenschaftlerin Gabriela Velic, hat intensiv zu Community-Medien geforscht. Simon Inou ist ein Radiojournalist, der aus Kamerun geflüchtet ist, heute bei Radio Orange arbeitet und uns einen Blick über den Tellerrand von Europa ermöglicht hat und über die Situation in Kamerun berichtet hat. Ein längeres Interview mit ihm und auch ein Interview mit Gabriela Velic gibt es im nächsten Widerhall. Weiters auf dem Podium waren Jovana Tripunovic. Sie betreibt in Serbien eine Internetplattform für freien, unabhängigen Journalismus. Ein Interview mit ihr gibt es im zweiten Teil der Sendung. Und der vierte auf dem Podium war Akos Cserhati, Geschäftsführer des freien Radios Civil Radio in Budapest. Und von seinem Statement gibt es jetzt einen Ausschnitt aus dem Podiumsgespräch. Er hat nach Simon Inou gesprochen.
Vielen herzlichen Dank, Simon Inou. Journalistinnen und Journalisten sind weltweit in Gefahr, auch in Europa. Sie sind auch mit Gewalt bedroht. Wir wenden uns, wie angekündigt, wieder Ungarn zu. Und ich freue mich, dass Akos Cserhati wieder bei uns am Podium Platz genommen hat. Er ist langjähriger Geschäftsführer von Civil Radio in Budapest und auch ein Radioaktivist der ersten Stunde. In Ungarn, wir haben es heute schon ein bisschen gehört, hat es viel früher als in Österreich freie Radios gegeben. Und in der Hochzeit, du hast es uns gestern im Workshop erzählt, hat es bis zu 80 freie Radios in Ungarn gegeben. Das Ganze hat dann ab 2011 etwa eine schlagartige Wendung genommen mit Reglementierungen, die mehr oder weniger einer Zensur gleichkommen. Und heute, ab 2020 hat Civil Radio keine Sendefrequenz mehr. Trotzdem existiert dieses Radio nach wie vor. Es gibt Sendungsmachende, die ja auch bei uns auf Besuch sind, die heute auch da sind. Und ich möchte dich, Akos, bitten, über die Situation, über die derzeitige und aktuelle Situation beim Civil Radio und in Budapest zu berichten.
Well, I have to apologize for not speaking German. It's getting so embarrassing to me, but I promise that next week I will begin to study your wonderful language. And in addition to many of you know Civil Radio and you are aware of the Hungarian media situation, so I shortly try to summarize our situation and who are we, Civil Radio. Our radio was founded in 1993 and it was the first legal community radio in Hungary. No, at that time it was called non-profit radio movement. And yesterday and in the last years I learned that, for example, the Austrian radio community radio scene started later. So our founders were really the pioneers of community radio. And our main mission is the same as the overall community media movements, giving voice to the voiceless people. And we took it very seriously. So our program makers are activists. Anyone can be a program maker at Civil Radio. And we are a very colorful and vibrant community. It shows that I think this is the real magic of community radio, that the program makers are from various layers of the society. So we have 14 years old volunteers, we have 88 years old program makers. And sometimes when I look at our workshops, and we have a workshop in which is held by a 14 years old boy, teaching to the elderly people how to use a smartphone, how to make recordings. And I cannot imagine such situation anywhere, just in a community radio, that youngsters are working with elderly people. We had almost a homeless person. We didn't know where he's going home because he was literally homeless. But he made a show with a wealthier person who was a dentist, and it cannot really happen that in life these people meet one place in a studio. And at that time in the early 90s we had a much more liberal and open-minded government and decision makers. The people and the whole society was full of optimism. And I remember that at that time the slogan was that within 5 years we will live like the Austrians. 10 years later we said the same, and still we said the same. Oh, we say all our politicians that in 5 years we will live like the Austrians. I can't wait for that 5 years. So what will happen? And they led this community radio movement. They supported at that time in the 90s. They really got the idea behind it, that it brings together the very different people. And it's not really expensive on the level of the government, supporting the radios, giving them money for technical devices and for some money to rent studio places. So it was so obvious at that time that it's really worth on the level of the state supporting these radios. And we had almost 90 community radios, and especially in the countryside, they were very important. But in smaller settlements, they became a community center culturally and in many ways the centers of these settlements. And when the new media law came, 2011. I cannot find a better word. It eliminated the community media sector. The radios had to give up their operation. Like Gabriela's radio, it's so hard to understand and explain why a university radio should give up its operation because of the law forced to do that. This media law, and this is the trick when we try to face the government or other European or the European Union is facing with this points that, for example, it was able to eliminate the community media sector, and the Hungarian government is saying that actually this is the first law which names the community media sector. In the previous ones, there were no, just non-profit media. And when they say but it's very, it gives the chance for the radio to censor their own programming. And they say, why? There is a quota system in our law, which says that, for example, the community radios have to provide or broadcast 75% public service content. And it's a great thing. We can all say that it's perfect. Or Hungarian music, 50% Hungarian music, which is perfect because we support the Hungarian music scene. But in practice, it turned out that what we think about public service, it's completely different what they think about the public service. When we, and this is one of the examples I use, that when we were talking in the studio about poverty, and there were two guests who were poor people, and they said that we are so poor that we hardly can buy bread every day. And we said that this is a program, a radio show, which informs the people about poverty, about the problems of society. And the Hungarian government or the media authority said that, no, this is not public service, because you did not invite anyone from the government. You officially in Hungary, there is no poverty according to the statistics, because they just deleted the poor people. And they said that this is not. When we were talking about education, public education, with teachers and students, and they really faced the listeners what is happening in the schools, the media authority said that this is not public service, because there is nothing. There are people who are talking about some kind of problems, if it's true or not. And it turned out that what we are doing, and we thought that 100% of our radio shows are public service, the media authority said no. And this really killed the radio, and we tried to comply with the law. And when we lost our frequency, which was at the very end of 2019, so we cannot be on terrestrial broadcast from 2020, they just pointed out that 11 times we violated the law, which means that in 2016, December 14, or December 24th, on that particular day, we broadcasted only 44% Hungarian music. On another day, we broadcasted less news. So when it came out that in 7 years we violated the law only 11 times, we said it's brilliant. A nuclear power plant is working with less efficiency. Probably in many places they make more mistakes. So it was a kind of shock at that time, but and here comes the real strength of the and the importance of the community radio movement. That and it's very different than the podcast, because it's a platform, and our activities are not only about producing and making radio shows. It's much more important that who are the program makers, how the radio shows are born, and the community, that there is a real community behind it. And probably this was the most important factor of our survival, that the radio show makers, after losing the frequency, came to the studio and they said that they don't care if it's in terrestrial broadcast or not. Here is the studio, there are the microphones, here we are, and the people whom we like to talk to, and there are those problems that we like to highlight on. So this was really an emotional moment in our life, that the community came and they said, we will go on. So this is our story in short. And you asked me yesterday that, and many times in studio or on platform discussions, I got this question that how the European Union could help changing the law or force Hungarian to use the law in practice differently. But we always say that, as in my example, how the government or the media authority mock this law, pointing on that what is the problem if we like to support the Hungarian music, and we say that 50% of a radio programming should dedicate it to Hungarian music. What's the problem with this public service content? And the European Union cannot say that. The problem is that you... that how you're thinking about public service is very different how these radios are thinking about it. And they say it's a very philosophical question. So this is how they try to avoid and really the European Union is absolutely paralyzed or impotent in this way, because when I say that they, what are the news they are saying? What is objectivity? It's, they are very philosophical questions. In this law, we mention community media, and there are certain quotas, but these are really super quotas. So in this way, it would not really help to force the European Union. I would say, and I always say that a money, a fund, where all the community radios of Europe, because we all have financial problems and many, many problems, and to keep and maintain the radios, if there were a fund absolutely dedicated to the community radio movement, and on the level of the European Union, 100 million euro is not too much, it's nothing, but it would be enormous, overwhelming money for this sector, for all the European radios, and where we could apply, and it's not a given money, we could apply with our programs and activities, and you know, it would be great to every country is that, for example, in Hungary, you get the frequency only on your programming, so and the. Do not consider and do not count with your community activities. So it would be great if you got the frequency after your community activity, saying that in this year we will have 20 workshops for youngsters, for elderly people. They are open and we let the communities to do shows and we deal with these topics. So it would be really great to build in somehow to the frequency low, how they share it, these community activities.
Soweit ein Ausschnitt vom Podiumsgespräch Internationale Perspektiven auf Medienfreiheit. Ein Statement von Akos Cserháti, dem Geschäftsführer von dem freien Radio Civil Radio in Budapest. Vor allem mit einem Bericht, wie es dem Radio geht, nachdem es seine UKW-Frequenz verloren hat. Auch auf dem Podium war auf Einladung von Radio B138 die Medienaktivistin Jovana Tripunovic. Sie betreibt eine Social-Media-Plattform für unabhängigen Journalismus in Serbien, wo es sowohl keine Community-Radios und auch sonst kaum unabhängige oder nicht kommerzielle Medien gibt. Im Interview, das ich mit ihr geführt habe, wollte ich von ihr wissen, welche Möglichkeiten in Bezug auf die Medienfreiheit das Internet bieten kann, obwohl gerade soziale Medien auch in der Kritik stehen, den öffentlichen Diskurs emotional aufzuheizen und demokratiegefährdende Mechanismen in Gang zu setzen.
Ivana Tribunovic, yes. You have been our guest today on the podium here in the discussion of media freedom. You're a podcaster, and my question is, because nowadays, especially social media, is accused bringing the conversation, the public conversation, in a wrong way, and also it destroys common media and also the democratic benefits we had from independent and quality media. But you, as a podcaster, I think you still see the benefits also of the internet. So what are they?
Well, even though I'm not a podcaster myself in the sense that I'm running a podcast of my own, maybe because of that even, my role in podcast.rs platform is community management. If community, we defined civil society organizations, academia, independent media, and other organizations. So we see them as community, and we offer them not only our facilities but also our platform and the way to be visible, because we believe that the content they are able to produce can contribute to public debate. So I hope I'm explaining our reasons properly. We believe that if we give the tools to those who have something to say, and that something is important for society, we believe that by giving them tools, they can be heard. Because first of all, we believe that society needs to be informed. We realize that media, those that we define as media, do not provide proper information for various reasons. Those reasons can be found in economy and finance topics, like they cannot publish truth about their advertisers because then they will lose funds. If their advertisers are commercial, we understand it clearly, but if their advertisers are sort of secluded, such as governmental funds and different instances, then you can understand why truth cannot come through media funded by someone. To illustrate with real example from Serbia, sport betting is a huge issue in Serbia. First of all, we have so many sport betting facilities. Second of all, those facilities are very often placed very near schools. So sport betting is becoming bigger and bigger problem in Serbia, not only from perspective of addiction, but that also decreases general level of education, because kids are choosing different future if they start getting lucky in sport betting very early. And imagine having sport betting facility not one but two within 500 meters away from your school. So we don't speak about that issue in media for very simple reason, because you can hardly find any media without sport betting advertisement. And those are usually pretty big printed pictures in the middle of magazine, or those are minutes long advertisements on TV or radio. So it's clear why we cannot have information about higher and higher percentage of people addicted to sport betting or any other betting. So I use that example, real, very real example, that I'm sorry I cannot say you can check online, because there are no information about that in huge level. But as we are now trying to fundraise for one podcast that will speak about that, actually comparing situation in Kosovo and Serbia, because in Kosovo sport betting is officially forbidden and you cannot find sport betting facilities there. So we actually want to fundraise and then develop the whole story for narrative podcast, because we see that podcast is the only thing that can fill in the gap of that information missing in media. So internet in that sense is huge advantage. And not only internet, but also technology. Similar to anything else, technology is here for us to use it. You know how they sometimes say, if you have a hammer, then everything looks like a nail. Well, if you don't have a hammer and you have a nail, then you will look for the closest thing that can solve it. And internet is the closest solution to what society needs to have some sort of general knowledge about any topic, but this one is interesting in different perspective. And also I want to go one step back, why we also notice that podcasts are working in some parts of the world. They are working perfectly for some communities. If we are willing to see community of, for example, YouTube streamers as valid community, and then it's question what you value. And but what we all agree upon, at least we call those communities worthy of mentioning if they are big enough, right? So we are not always for exclusive communities. We understand that community be something very large, that it can be something very large. So for example, podcaster who is running a podcast about certain game that is being played by millions of people, then they are making one community and they can raise issues within themselves. And we just don't see those rules. For example, they can very easily intervene with company producing some equipment because they are community of buyers, and discussion that is run within that community orients huge company to keep producing something or to cut the production of certain product. If we are willing to play with idea of product, then political ideas are products, social topics are products, and our attention is the currency, our as audience. So because all of us, that's where I see another correlation between podcasters and community medias, not only that we are making one community media out of podcast as platform by bringing civil society organizations to use them, but also through that another story, which is community media, podcasters, traditional media or legacy media, how they like to call them, all of us are competing for audience attention. And we are actually also in the same power to offer them different things we value once when we have their attention. But first step to overcome is to fight and to win that attention of very limited resource, more limited than money is. We don't even have idea how we are limited in our attention, because we can print out money in a sense, but we cannot print out hours in a day. That is limited resource. So hours in a day that we can give to our eyes or ears are kind of limited. And podcasts, no matter, they are sometimes video podcasts as well, are something you listen to. Community media in radio context, audio podcasts are in advantage to fight for that attention of audience, because we are not taking both their eyes and ears, so we can fill out that those gaps of time, like commuting, like doing some housework chores, where people can get our information because we don't ask them to give us screen. And there is that screen fatigue because we are looking at screens at work and in private time and always. So I believe that we can realize that also is part of advantage of internet, because now we can use technology to reach out to more people. And since we are all fighting for that limited time, then it's also about our creativity, how we want to address certain issues.
So it's all about managing this kind of communications. Is there anything what could help you in this managing, which is coming from outside the country?
Yes, a lot. Actually, I know we are talking about independency of media and everything, but I need to say we really depend on any support from outside. And I like to joke about that by quoting one old professor that I respect deeply, who I met while he was working as Secretary General within Ministry of Education in Serbia, and I was running one youth-based, but actually project against corruption in higher education in Serbia. So I'm explaining context that was happening 12 years ago. During that time, I was having serious conversation with him as general secretary of ministry about how we should reform education to prevent corruption within it. And he told me, you know, reform of education is like moving a cemetery. Those inside will not help. And later on I realized that reform of anything is like that. Those who are within system won't change a thing. And of course, we cannot have change of media in Serbia, because media in Serbia, support for that cannot come from within, because that system supports them. So we can only rely on good examples from outside. I need to say also on funds from outside, to lead us towards better society. And it's very easy to understand how media are actually the tool to change and improve society, because it either happens, in any case it happens in-house, but that house needs to learn about what's important through some media, because it's usually too late to learn about that through official education. I mean, not all of us have that luck to have excellent kindergarten, elementary school, high school, university and stuff, but at one point we all need to have a chance to change and improve, and media are the only tool we have in our hands. So whoever wants to change and improve, for example, Serbian society, needs to influence media, needs to have that control. At this point, all of that control is in wrong hands. And as they say, at least in Serbia, we say give up, in a way of saying like put your hands up. So imagine us leaving those spots empty by putting our hands up. So we hope we will have more good hands around that issue, because we really need to pull stronger.
Ivana Tripunovic, thank you very much, and also thank you for your coming to our project Radio Transfer. Thank you.
It was a pleasure. I don't know if I'm saying properly, but something like sehr gerne.
Yes, it was good. Thank you very much.
Thank
you.
Die serbische Medienaktivistin und Social-Media-Plattform-Betreiberin Jovana Tripunovic. Sie war eine der vier Podiumsgäste unserer Radiotransferveranstaltung zum Thema internationale Perspektiven auf die Medienfreiheit. Stattgefunden hat das in der Kurdirektion Bad Ischl. Die zwei weiteren Podiumsgäste kommen im nächsten Widerhall zu Wort. Simon Inou etwa, er wird auf Deutsch auch über seine persönlichen Erlebnisse erzählen. Das war der Widerhall, wie immer nachzuhören und herunterzuladen auf freies Radio.at. Im Namen des Teams verabschiedet sich Jörg Stöger. Sie hörten den Widerhall. Jeden Dienstag um 18 Uhr. Die Wiederholung jeweils Mittwoch um 10 und Donnerstag um 17 Uhr.